In the Warren County Radio Bible School today, we're going to be reading from the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. So you may want to take your Bible and turn there. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rockcliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rockcliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let's read this text together. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. Now it came to pass in those days there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment made when Quirinius was governor in Syria. And all went to enroll themselves, every one to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, to enroll himself with Mary, who was betrothed to him, being great with child. And it came to pass, while they were there, the days were fulfilled, that she should be delivered. Let me read to you some notes from Elam's notes that he wrote to the teacher that would be teaching this passage. He starts talking about Augustus Caesar. Augustus was the second of the 12 Caesars and the first emperor of Rome. He was grandnephew and successor of Julius Caesar and was Caesar Octavius until Rome conferred upon him the title of Augustus in B.C. 27. On his victory over Antony at Actium, he entered into supreme power, and from that time was master of the Roman world. Rejoiced at his victory over his enemies, he closed the temple of Janus, which stood open in time of war, for the third time in 700 years, and declared universal peace. During his reign, Rome enjoyed the golden age. This then was a fit time for the birth of the Prince of Peace. It was in those days, perhaps just after the birth of John the Baptist, Augustus declared that all the world should be enrolled. That would be preliminary to taxation, like registering for the tax. Some think all the world here means the Roman Empire. It could simply refer to the Jewish nation. Quirinius was consul at B.C. 12 and was governor of Syria after the banishment of Archelaus in A.D. 6. He was probably twice governor of Syria, his first governorship extending from B.C. 4, the year of Christ's birth, to B.C. 1. It was during this time that he was sent to make enrollment, which caused Joseph and Mary to visit Bethlehem. This was the first enrollment. There's a second mentioned in Acts chapter 5 and verse 37. While the Romans required registration in the place of residence, the Jews were permitted to follow their own customs, and all went to enroll themselves, every one in his own city. In the providence of God, Joseph and Mary were called to Bethlehem just in time for Jesus to be born there. Betrothal is a virtual marriage. Although the betrothed did not go in at once to the husband's home. Now the birth of Jesus was on this wise, we read. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But when he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for it is he that shall save his people from their sins. Now all this has come to pass, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is, being interpreted, God with us. And Joseph arose from his sleep, and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth a son, and he called his name Jesus. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Luke 1:34 tells us Mary knew not a man, and Joseph knew her not until after Jesus was born. After this there were born unto Joseph and Mary both sons and daughters. This forever destroys the dogma of Mary's perpetual virginity. But Jesus must have been born of a woman. We do not know just why Jesus did not appear immediately after the fall of man, but it seems that the race must be prepared for his coming. The law of Moses was added because of transgressions until the seed, Jesus, should come. Galatians 3 and verse 19. It prepared the Jews for the reception of Christ. The law was full of types which pointed to Christ. Then, according to his own purpose and after the counsel of his own will, when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, that he might redeem them that were under the law, and that we might receive the adoption of sons. Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5. Before his birth on earth, Jesus existed with God as the Word. John 1:1 tells us that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's John 1:14. After this manifestation in the flesh, his name is Jesus, and he is called the Son of Man. He must be born of a woman in order to become flesh. And he must become flesh in order to suffer and die for the race. He must suffer and weep and be tempted in order to become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make proclamation for the sins of the people. God prepared for him a body. He bore our sins in his body on the tree, and by his stripes we are healed. When the fullness of time came for Jesus to be born, Gabriel, as we now know, appeared to Mary at Nazareth and declared to her that she should be the mother of the Son of God. While these declarations of Gabriel were astonishing to Mary and wonderful, she never doubted them. Gabriel assured her that no word from God shall be void of power. To this Mary replied, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. We read this story in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. This is great faith indeed, even faith sublime. There is no proof whatever that Jesus was born on December 25th. On the contrary, it seems altogether probable that he was not born on that day. Human nature is prone to celebrate noted events, and men have been disposed to celebrate the birth of Christ. The Bible says not a word about the celebration of the birth of Christ on any day. Had God wanted the birth of Christ celebrated, he would have told the world on what day he was born and how to celebrate it. He has given the church the first day of the week on which to meet and to break bread and otherwise worship him according to his directions. The Lord's Supper is to be eaten on the first day of the week in memory of Jesus, to proclaim his death till he come, and to have a communion with his body and blood. Thousands are so concerned about celebrating Christmas, which thank God does not command to be done, to neglect or ignore the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week, which God teaches should be observed by his people. Now let's go to the lesson text of Luke chapter 2, and we'll read verse 8. It says, "There were shepherds in the same country, abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. While Joseph and Mary were at Bethlehem, Jesus was born. It was not so designed by them, but it was so arranged in the plan and prophecies of God. Swaddling clothes were unmade bands in which newborn child was wrapped. This was the customary dress for infants. Jesus, as a babe and as a man, was clothed as ordinary babies and men are clothed. He was laid in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. The inn and the manger were different apartments. Inns were respectable and useful lodging places for travelers, but not in the modern use of the world. They're rude, unfurnished, square buildings surrounded by an open space or court. On the inside of the square walls were separate rooms fronting the court, hence each party could have a room to itself. The beasts of burden fed and rested in the court or in sheds abutting the outside walls or in caves around it. Each party carried its own bedding and provisions. There seems to have been but one in Bethlehem, and it was full when Joseph and Mary reached there. So in one of the stables adjoining, perhaps a cave, they found the lodging places, and there Jesus was born and laid in a manger, a feeding trough, not a jeweled crater in some royal palace. It is impossible to conceive of a humbler birthplace for the Son of God. Now there were shepherds in the same country, and therefore nearby, keeping night watches over their flock, and that is, watching it in turn over their sheep to protect them from wild beasts and robbers that may be straying that way." Let me read to you Luke 2, verses 8 and 9. "There were shepherds in the same country, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock. And the angel of the Lord stood by them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." This is an argument against the supposition that Jesus was born on December 25th. Some say it was possible for the shepherds to be out at night in that mild climate in December. Yet it is no more probable that Jesus was born then than in June. Religious sects have placed the birth of Jesus somewhere in every month of the year. Had God desired us to celebrate the birth of his Son, he would have preserved the date and taught us how to celebrate it. He does not desire us to remember the body. He does desire us to remember the body and blood of his Son, and he's taught us how to do it. The angel and the multitude of heavenly hosts did not appear to the shepherds by accident. The shepherds were prepared in heart and character for this visitation. The Lord comes to those who are ready for him and blesses those who are prepared to receive and use his blessings. These shepherds were not in the synagogues on the Sabbath day or at the temple on some feast day, but they were at the post of duty. This beautiful angelic hymn was not sung in the palace of the Caesars or to the learned Athenians or to the Pharisees in Jerusalem, but to humble shepherds waiting and praying in the daily routine of life's duty for the Messiah. Here too the glory of the Lord shone round about them. This was the bright light or dazzling cloud from the presence of God which accompanied the angel. It shone in the face of Moses and in the face and raiment of Jesus. And it shone round Saul of Tarsus and smote him on his way to Damascus. It shone about John on the Isle of Patmos. And they were sore afraid. This light has never been seen without fear and trembling.